Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at the big four in silicon: NVIDIA, AMD, Apple, and Intel. We're putting them head-to-head, but purely on the hardware. We're setting aside software, like CUD, completely.
Mm-hmm.
The big question is, who actually has the hardware advantage right now?
Yeah, and what we found looking through the sources is you really can't pick just one winner. It's not that simple anymore. Superiority, it's really become specific to what you're doing. What's really interesting, though, is you see these four totally different strategies playing out. Four different bets, really, on how to deal with Moore's Law. Well, kind of slowing down.
Okay, let's unpack that. What are these four philosophies driving the hardware game?
Well, NVIDIA is maybe the most straightforward. Their philosophy, unbounded performance, just raw power. They focus on these huge monolithic chips, right? Like the H100, over 80 billion transistors, and specialized bits inside. AMD is almost the opposite. They're all about the economics of disaggregation. Chiplets are key for them.
Chiplets to like manage costs and manufacturing.
Exactly. Better yields, more flexibility. Yeah. Then you've got Apple.
Apple, right? Their whole approach feels like system-level efficiency comes first. Everything tightly integrated.
Perfectly put. It's all about the whole system working together efficiently. And finally, Intel. Intel's building what you might call a foundation for modular scalability. They're betting big on their tile architecture, X cores.
Tiles. So they can mix and match components later on.
That seems to be the idea. Flexibility for the future.
Okay, so if we judge them by their own goals, where are the clear wins? Let's start with just raw scale, pure compute power. That still feels like NVIDIA's domain, right?
Yeah.
Especially for HPC and big AI training.
Oh, absolutely. They dominate there. And it's not just the size of the chip, remember. It's the specialization inside. You look at their SMs, their streaming multiprocessors, they have dedicated hardware, tensor cores, the transformer engine, stuff built specifically for that parallel Mac you need in deep learning.
And they connect them all up.
Yeah, with proprietary tech like NVLink, NVSwitch. They can link, up to 256 GPUs in a single system? Huge scale.
Okay, massive scale. Now let's swing the pendulum the other way. Power efficiency, low latency tasks. This feels like Apple's turf with their M-series chips in Macs and iPads.
Yeah.
How do they pull that off?
It really comes down to physics almost. Reducing distance. They use this unified memory architecture, or UMA. Basically, the DRAM, the fast memory, isn't separate. It's physically mounted right there on the same package as the CPU, GPU, the neural engine.
So everything shares one big pool of memory.
Right. And it's fast. It's a zero copy setup. No need to constantly shuffle data across a PCIe bus like in traditional systems.
So you skip that bottleneck entirely. That gives them a big edge in latency and efficiency.
Exactly. Discrete GPUs just can't match that kind of integration.
Okay, shifting gears again, let's talk cost. You mentioned AMD wins on economics. How does the chiplet strategy make that happen?
It's actually quite clever from a manufacturing standpoint. They take the really complex bit, the main graphics compute die, the GCD, and they put that on the most advanced and expensive process node, like TSMC's N5.
Okay, the cutting edge for the critical part.
But then the other parts, like the memory cache dies, the MCDs, those don't need to be quite as complex. So they put those on an older, more mature, and crucially cheaper process node, like N6.
Ah, mix and match. So they're not wasting the expensive N5 wafer space on simpler components.
Precisely. It boosts their yields, meaning fewer flawed chips per wafer, and brings the overall manufacturing cost way down. It's smart economics.
So this is where it gets interesting, right? It seems like raw performance isn't just about shrinking transistors anymore. It's becoming all about how these different pieces, these chips or chiplets, are actually connected, building systems of chips, as the sources say.
Yeah, that's the new frontier. It's often called heterogeneous integration. And it's forcing some interesting partnerships. Look at the NVIDIA-Intel alliance. That's a huge sign, isn't it?
Right. Integrating Intel CPUs and NVIDIA GPUs super tightly using NVIDIA's own NVLink. That's rivals collaborating.
It shows they both recognize this is the way forward. Fusing strengths through advanced packaging.
And that packaging is the physical key. You hear terms like 2.5D, 3D integration. Like AMD and NVIDIA using TSMC's CoWoS. That's like building connections side by side in a silicon interposer, right?
Sort of, yeah. It's like building on a shared foundation layer. Intel, though, they're pushing Foveros, which is true 3D stacking.
Stacking dies directly on top of each other.
Yes. And their next step is Foveros Direct, aiming for direct copper-to-copper bonding between stack dies. No bumps. That's really pushing the physical limits.
So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway? It sounds like the hardware battle now is really about overcoming the memory wall, getting the processing cores and the data closer together faster.
That's pretty much it. Apple's approach. Eliminate the distance with UMA, AMD. Build a huge fast buffer right on the package with Infinity Cache. And NVIDIA. Build a faster, wider highway with things like NVLink and ever faster memory like HBM.
So the core chip design matters, but the integration, the packaging, the connection, that's where the advantage is won or lost now.
Exactly. The architectural fight is kind of shifting towards an integration fight.
Which leads to a final thought for you, listening. We see these proprietary interconnects like NVLink, but there are also open standards emerging, like UCI, Universal Chiplet Interconnect Express.
So the question is, if an open standard like UCI takes off, does that level the playing field? Could it force everyone to compete more on, say, who has the best manufacturing and assembly techniques, rather than locking people into their own proprietary connection tech? Something to think about.